People. Really glad to be here with you again, and just wanted to touch on something that has been an interesting wrestling point in my own story and seems to be showing up quite a lot with my work with third culture kids as well. I'm sure I've kind of explored this in various ways, but I'm going to do it from this angle today. I want to talk about self-esteem, third culture kid self-esteem. I'm slowly, I suppose, constructing a theory around this, given the stories that I'm hearing and the patterns that I'm observing. And I remember the moment my own therapist, who wasn't a third culture kid, therapist told me on one occasion that they felt I had low self-esteem, and I really pushed back on this. I remember distinctly saying to them, "No, I think I'm great. I think I have pretty high self-esteem. I think I'm great. The issue I have is that I make absolutely no assumption that anybody else will think I'm great." And I sort of watched their face try and process the dissonance of those two statements. But it's a dissonance that I'm hearing again and again from you as well, where we tend to think of low self-esteem as a lack of confidence. We associate instances where we feel insecure in other people's affections as having a connection with low self-esteem. And I think this is where, as with many things, third culture kids complicate beautifully established mental health models, because I'm finding again and again that this is not necessarily the case. I mean, sure, I'm not going to deny that a number of us as third culture kids may be struggling with low self-esteem as understood in that way of not liking self, right? That is absolutely something we get to experience as well, lucky us. But I'm talking about a particularly confusing brand of this, which can be where we might be absolutely racked with behaviours that arise from beliefs around our lack of lovability in other people's eyes, not our own. And I think it's worth just noticing that distinction, because I'm grateful for my therapist's observation here, because it did instigate a challenge within me where I could start to unpick what my self-esteem meant, because I knew that I thought quite well of myself and I liked myself, I had a tendency to dismiss the lack of confidence or the insecurity that I did feel relationally. Whereas actually, it was worth attending to. Just because we know we're worthy of love does not necessarily mean we believe other people can or will love us. And I think that's really important to recognize. It's absolutely something we can work with and something we can change. But first, if it's what's operating within us as a belief, we need to recognize it and name it. Otherwise, or what we get instead, is something that goes, certainly in my case, along the lines of, I know I'm worthy of love, so why won't why won't they love me? And in fact, what's actually happening is not necessarily that they won't love me, but I might simply be blocking the data that they do, because I don't believe they will, right? It becomes a self-fulfilling thing. So I might know that I'm worthy of love. You might know that you're worthy of love. But because of our TCK stories, it doesn't necessarily follow that we'll believe people will stick around to love us. Right? Everybody leaves. That's a belief so many of us carry. And because we lost people so frequently and from often such a young age, that as children do, we personalize that experience. It becomes a personal rejection of self. I wasn't enough to stay for, goes the child mind. Even if an adult mind knows that that isn't remotely the case. But we might have this very strong operating belief of people are not going to stay. I'm not enough to stay for is where that flowchart of thought goes to. Or we might know that we're worthy of love, but we might still have a belief that says you won't see or understand me properly. And again, that absolutely pings to our TCK stories, where we are so accustomed to being an anathema, to being this confounding story, this incredible, incredulous response that we might actually invite from other people, where they just simply cannot grasp who we are, and so therefore in our experience maybe don't try and get to know us or misunderstand us, or we feel othered in some way. So I know I'm worthy of loving, but you're not going to be able to see or understand me and love me. Or I might know that I'm worthy of love, but you won't want me enough. I might have a sense of my own story as rendering me complex in certain ways. I might have different cultural values that occasionally collide, and I might have absorbed a belief that this makes me difficult to be around or difficult to work with, or I might be demanding in some way because I might have such strong opinions or values or needs around travel or movement or politics or social justice, and I've absorbed somehow that while I'm worthy of love, you're not going to want me enough to deal with the bigness of my story. I'm going to watch your eyes glaze over in confusion and go, do you know what? That's a bit like effort. And all of these, of course, are very understandable beliefs arising out of TCK experiences, and they might well be reinforced by family narratives as well, family stories that tell us we're hard to love, or that people won't stay, or that people won't see us. And I wanted to raise it because one of the... Well, firstly, you're not alone. If this is you, you're not alone in any way. And one of the things that I'm observing is that one of the ways we are rendered occasionally reluctant to believe that we are truly loved and wanted, and this could be in a romantic sense, or it could be in a friendship sense, community sense, when we are struggling to believe we're loved and wanted, it may well be, and this is an observation I'm developing, so I'd be really interested in your feedback, but I'm hearing it in multiple stories, that our sense of being worth being around as children may well have been founded upon a sense of specialness or an identity that was very, very linked to borrowed attributes. A kind of universalizing of our identity. So we're interesting because of where we've lived. That's not personal. That's associated with something bigger than ourselves. Or where we've got certain linguistic skills. Again, not really personal. That's due to our context. These are not personality traits. Or perhaps we've got something to bring to a situation because we've got broad experience of culture or places, or we're high empathy. Again, we're bringing skill sets. These are not personal. And while a lot of us may enjoy being able to do these things and bring these things and noticing these things and being noticed for these things, I believe that there's a shallowness that we experience in identity that means that, especially when we're in our passport countries, especially when we are outside of performative difference, right? We look the same in a space. We might struggle to know why or what people see in us because of that lack of sense of a particular identity. I'm really hoping this is making sense because I feel like I'm blithering. But this is what I'm seeing, is that, again, I might know I'm worthy of love, but I don't know why you would love me. What is it that you see in me? And I think this is something I'd love to explore more, and perhaps some parents of TCKs and educators of TCKs can speak to this as well, because I think there's an absolute need for children as they're growing up to base their sense of self on particularities. You wouldn't tell a child they were special and wonderful and beautiful because they had brown hair. They're going to look around and see a whole bunch of other people with brown hair. This isn't about them anymore. And yet I think we do this with third culture kids. I think what I needed in the early chapters of my story was to know that I was funny. To know that I had a unique personal perspective. To know that there was an individual residing within me, beyond the mini ambassador that has often been written about with TCKs, where we become representatives of a cause or an organization or a nationality or a passport or a language or an institution. And so when it comes to having individual relationships, we can end up at a loss to know what people are getting from us, because we just simply have less sense of the us that we're bringing to the table. And that breaks my heart every time I hear it, because when I'm working with TCKs, and there's a gorgeous paradox in this, I work almost exclusively with third culture kids, so I hear very similarly patterned stories day in, day out, and yet you are gloriously unique. Each and every one of you, I get to have this entirely different relationship with you every time, and it's brilliant because you're brilliant. And a number of times I will hear people saying, I don't know, that I feel like a vacuum, there's nothing in me. And I will look at them and I will hear their stories and hear how they experience the world and think, but there is so much of you. Can you hear yourself? Can you hear how you experience that? Can you hear what's going on for you? And of course, we often aren't in practice for that. And so I get to be that mirror to kind of echo that back and reflect that back to you. But it just feels so key that we need this. We need a sense, not just that we're worthy of love and that we're lovable, but to have lived experience of people loving us for the individual that we are, not for how interesting we are or special we are or unique we are or talented we are, but for the essence, the particularities. I hope that makes sense. Thank you for being new. There's only one of you and the world needs you. I look forward to talking to you again soon. Take care of you. Bye.